Circumstances, life, busyness, hurts, struggles. God, they get in the way of my remembering. And I don't live in remembrance of you. God, I forget how far you brought me. I forget how good you've been, how faithful. God, I get selfish. So, Lord, I ask for forgiveness on behalf of myself and on behalf of our church, because I know there are many just like me. Help us today. Help us today to recommit to living in remembrance of you. That this life, your blessings, our struggles, our hurts, our brokenness, God, they're not about us. They're about you. May we seek you and remember you in the middle of whatever life brings. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Because you are so, so good. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, what a great song. I needed that. This is the time we release our children and volunteers to Children's Church, so I want to invite you guys to head back in that direction. Whew. And the rest of you, if you will, take your Bibles and turn to Jonah chapter 4. Jonah chapter 4. What a great song to lead into what we're going to be looking at today. We're still in the series, Lessons Learned from a Wayward Prophet. And we've been walking through this episode, this snapshot of a short period of time in the life of Jonah. But I want to continue going back and reminding you that this is unfortunately what we know Jonah best about, is that he disobeyed God, he ran from God, and God swallowed him up in a fish and then spit him out on the shore. And that's what we know about Jonah. But the truth is, Jonah was a man of God, he's a prophet. We saw that in 2 Kings chapter 14. God had used him. He was a man who loved God. He was a man who served God. He was a man who God spoke through to call his people back to repentance and spoke the truth through him and then accomplish what he gave Jonah to prophesy. And so Jonah was a man who loved God, but there was a time in his life, there was a short episode in his life where he ran from God. God gave him an assignment. God gave him a message to a people he did not want to take the message to. He hated the Assyrians. The Assyrians were the bad guys of the world. They were the ISIS of their day. They were the conquering nations. They were the one who terrorized everyone. They were hateful, wicked, hard people. And they were oppressing and starting to move in towards Israel. And Jonah did not want the word of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the gospel of God shown on the people of Nineveh. And so he ran from God. And it's a great reminder to us as people who love Jesus but find ourselves often running from God. Maybe it's because of circumstances. Maybe it's because of things we've done. Maybe it's because of things outside our control. Maybe it's just because God said do something and we just don't want to do it. And we find ourselves in rebellion. And then we wonder, do I really love God? Can I really be at this point in my life? Can God let this happen to me and it be a place where I can find God, where God still loves me? Remember when Jonah was in the belly of the fish, when the weight of the world was on top of him in chapter 2, as he began to describe what it felt like as he was settled on the bottom of the ocean, where all the weight of the world and the depths of the despair he was in, he said, I remembered God and I cried out and he heard my cry. Sometimes God lets us get to those points just so we will cry out to Him and remember Him. So that there's no other hope, there's no other way, there's no other thing I can do. I'm exhausted. Everything I can think of, everything I can do, every power, every ounce of energy is gone, and all I can do is cry out to God. And sometimes that's exactly where He wants us to be. Sometimes that's the greatest act of His grace. It's when He allows us to get to that point. Because until we get to that point, we think we can handle it. Until we get to that point, we think we can figure it out. We think we can fix it. Until we get to that point, we're not ready to cry out to the Lord. So sometimes our greatest trouble, sometimes our greatest hurt, sometimes our greatest failure is the greatest act of God's grace. Because He calls out to us and He lets us get there so we will call out to Him. Well, we looked last week as Jonah was given a second opportunity. When we fail, God's not done with us. If we'll cry out, He will put us back on the path. And we've got a journey to get back to where He wants us to be. And Jonah did that. He cried out to the Lord. The Lord had him the fish vomit him out on the shore. And then he had to journey to Nineveh. And he preached a very simple sermon. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed or overthrown. And people heard. God had been at work through nature and some other things we talked about. And they repented. They put on sackcloth and ashes. And they turned away from their evil ways. There was a decree from the king. Man, everybody turn away from your evil ways and get in sackcloth and ashes. He declared a fast. And maybe the Lord, maybe God will turn from His wrath and relent. Well, Jonah preached. And Jonah was obedient, but Jonah wasn't exactly where God wanted him to be personally. We're going to pick up in the end of chapter 3 and go through chapter 4 and look at what happened as the people of Nineveh repented, as they got in mourning and they turned away from their sin. God, it says in chapter 3, verse 10, when God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which He had declared He would bring upon them, and He did not do it. God's desire is forgiveness. If you would stand, we'll finish up in chapter 4. But this relenting that God did greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "Please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, in order to stop this grace from happening, I fled to Tarshish. For I knew that You are gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who repents or relents concerning calamity. Therefore, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life." And the Lord said, "Do you have good reason to be angry?" Then Jonah went out of the city and sat east of it. And he made a shelter for himself and he sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen to the city. So the Lord appointed a plant to grow over Jonah to be shade over his head to deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. But God appointed a worm when dawn came the next day and attacked the plant, and it withered. And when the sun came up, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all his soul to die, saying, "Death is better to me than life." Then God said to Jonah, "Do you have good reason to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "I have good reason to be angry, even to death." Then the Lord said, "You have compassion on a plant for which you did not work, which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between their right hand and their left, as well as many, many animals?" You may be seated. So Jonah preached, Nineveh repented, God relented and showed mercy and grace, and Jonah got mad. Jonah confessed his heart. I mean, Jonah was obedient, and sometimes we think, okay, if I'll just be obedient, obedience is the thing. But it's not just our obedience that God wants. God wants a change of our heart. God's more concerned about our heart than He is about our actions. And see, many people don't understand that. Well, if I'll just do the right things, then I'll please God. If I've got to clean my act up, I've got to get better at these things, I've got to do better, I've got to work harder at doing what's right and the things I know what's right. And we struggle with the doing, and God's not as concerned about the doing as He is our heart. Because it's out of the heart the mouth speaks. It's out of the heart that we act. So God is concerned about our heart. So Jonah was vomited up on the shore. He was obedient. He went to Nineveh. He preached the sermon at Nineveh. And then he went up and sat down on the hill to see what would happen and got angry because God was gracious and merciful. He did not like the people of Nineveh. He didn't think they deserved God's love. He didn't think they were worthy of God's grace, that they were the enemies of God, so therefore they deserved to be destroyed. And he wanted a bird's eye view. He wanted a ringside seat to the destruction. When it didn't happen, Jonah became angry, and his heart began to show. He said, "Look, God, isn't this what I said would happen when I was in my own city? See, this is why I wanted to run. This is why I didn't want to come to Nineveh, because I knew you were a God who was merciful and gracious. I knew you were a God who was quick to relent from destruction. I knew you were a God who wanted to forgive. I knew you were a God who were compassionate. I knew if they repented, you'd forgive them, and I didn't want them forgiven. I wanted you to give them what they deserve." See, the problem was Jonah had a messed up view of himself. God had just demonstrated great grace to Jonah. Jonah had rebelled and run. Jonah was in the belly of the fish where he should have been killed. But yet God forgave. He cried out, God answered, and spit him up on the shore, gave him a second chance. Jonah wanted God's grace, but he didn't want others to experience God's grace. So he got angry and he sat down and prayed, God, just kill me. I'd rather die than sit here and see them experience your grace. I'd rather sit here or die than to sit here and see the people that hate you, the people that have been so mean to me, the people that have been so mean to your people, the people that have been so wicked and so vile. I'd rather die than see them be forgiven and experience your grace and your mercy. I did what you said, but I don't mean I gotta like it. You ever heard that? Ever said that? God, I'll do it, but I ain't gotta like it. See, we're missing the heart of God. We haven't got to the point to let the Word of God change our heart. We did what He said because we've been in the belly of the fish and we don't want to be there again. We did what He said because we were afraid of the consequences if we didn't do it. It wasn't motivated by the first and second of the greatest commandments. Remember when the Pharisee asked Jesus, "What's the greatest commandment?" Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Because all the law and the prophets hang on these two things. See, we forget that God desires a change of heart, a transformation of our lives. More than just doing. Because if it's just doing, we're going to fall very, very short. We can only force ourselves to do right for a while. Then our heart's going to come out, just like Jonah. God wants us to love Him, and to love Him is to love people. To love Him is to love those who hate Him. To love Him is to love those that hate you. To love Him is to love those who hurt you. To love Him to love those that you'd much rather see get what they deserve. How do you do that? How do we accomplish that? How do we let that happen in our lives? Well, it comes down to remembering the grace that we received. Jonah forgot the great grace that he had. How many times do you and I forget the great grace that you and I have received? See, we forget that none of us deserve God's love. If we got what we deserved, none of us would ever have a good day. We ask the question, God, why is this happening? Why are things so bad? The real question is, when things are going so great, God, why are you letting this happen to me? Why are things going so good? I don't deserve this, is the real truth. We deserve the worst of life every day because we are sinners. We don't deserve grace and mercy. We don't deserve any good thing that our God gives us. We don't deserve great relationships. We don't deserve great marriages. We don't deserve a great family. We don't deserve great children. We don't deserve a good job. We don't deserve a great house. We don't deserve anything that God's given us. And we've got to remember that God's grace has been lavished upon us. His love has been lavished upon us. And the same grace and love that we've received is the same grace and love He wants to give to everyone. So Jonah was sitting there and he began to pray, God, just kill me. I'd rather die than see them see good days. I've been there. I've been there. God begins to ask the question, do you do good to be angry? Two times he asked him, do you have good reason to be angry? The first time he asked him, Jonah just simply went off on a tirade. It says, then Jonah went out of the city and he sat down. He began to pout. That's something we pick at Anna about when she was little. She'd be doing something and you'd get on to her and she'd, I'm going to go pout. And she'd go pout. That's what Jonah was doing. God had forgiven him. He was mad, so he just went and pouted. Man, I see a lot of Christians pouting all the time. God didn't do it like he wanted it to, so they pout. Things aren't happening in church like they want it to, like they prefer it, so they pout. Things just, God's not doing what they want him to do. God's not answering their prayer when he wants them to pray, so they pout. And they go and have a pity party, and they pout. I'm just going to go over here and pout. And that's what they look like. Pout. God not doing what I wanted. God's got to give me what I deserve. We pout. Now, notice in the middle of Jonah's pout, again, God's gracious. Our pouting doesn't change God's love. Our pouting doesn't change God's goodness. He meets Jonah right where he is in the middle of his pout. He's built him this little shelter out of sticks, and he's sitting there, and it's still hot, and there's not much shade from sticks. It's kind of like those little cabanas that people put over their patios made out of just timbers. Got the timbers this way and the timbers this way, and there's no covering over it. I'm thinking, how much shade does that provide? What good is that? But that's kind of what he had, but his was made out of sticks. So he's sitting there and he's pouting and he's just praying. He's hoping, just God, either kill me or kill them, but somebody needs to die today. And so that night, God causes this plant to grow up over the shelter. Grace. Do you think Jonah deserved some comfort? No. God demonstrated his grace in the middle of Jonah's pout. Caused the plant to grow up over it. The next day, the sun came out bright. And it was hot, and he was sitting in that shade, and Jonah was so happy because he was comfortable. Again, sounds like a lot of those church people I know. Jonah celebrated his comfort. Jonah was happy about his comfort. He didn't give a rip about people about to die and go to hell. It was all about his comfort. I'm stepping on some toes now. See, we're more concerned about our comfort and our preference than lost people way too often. And there are way too many churches that are more concerned about their comfort than lost people. God's still showing grace. God's still showing mercy. But it doesn't mean he's happy with us. So Jonah is sitting there, and at dawn, sun's hot. God sends a worm to cut this plant off at the root. And the plant begins to wither, and a strong east wind comes, and man, it just parches that plant right off the bat, blows it over off the little frame that he had, and man, Jonah got angry again. His comfort was messed up. And he began to pout, and he began to fuss, and he began to cry out to God again. Verse 8, it says it got even worse. When the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint, he begged with all his soul to die, saying, "Death is better to me than life." That is the heart of many churches. We'd rather die than be uncomfortable. We'd rather shut the doors than do something different. We'd rather let the light go out in our community than to have our preferences done away with. I've got preferences. I've got things that I enjoy, things I don't like, things that don't fire me up. But what is it that reaches lost people? What is it that's going to make the next generation, the people that aren't in church and didn't grow up in church, or the people that hadn't been in church in years, what is going to invite them back to this place? What is going to be a place where they come and enjoy being, where they come and like being? And what is it that brings them to this place and makes it a place where they want to be? See, the problem is we're more focused on us. I'm talking about the church as a whole. I'm thankful this church isn't so much that way. But many churches are. We're just focused on us and us being happy and comfortable. And we don't care what the world will enjoy. We don't care what will cause them to want to be here. If they don't like what we're doing, there's other churches doing other things. They can go over there. And just like Jonah, there are churches closing their doors, thousands a year, Baptist churches, closing their doors every year because they don't want to do anything different. They don't want their preference to be done away with. They don't want their comfort to be shuffled or messed up. They're not concerned about a lost and dying world. Same with Jonah. He got uncomfortable, and he'd rather die than deal with the uncomfort, or the discomfort, excuse me. He's more concerned about himself than the lost. Church, we got to be careful. We've got to remember our salvation is not about us. God brought us together as a church, not for our comfort, but so that we could accomplish kingdom things, so that we could share the gospel, so that we could reach the lost, so we could demonstrate the difference God makes in our lives, so we could demonstrate the devotion of our lives to the one who died for us and caused us to love him and called out to us for salvation. It's all about him. The two greatest commandments is love God, love people. And when it becomes love God and love comfort, we're out of line. Matthew 25, Jesus says, on judgment day, this is how he's going to judge us. The evidence that we're saved. How did we live our life? So he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. He's going to separate the believers and the non-believers like a shepherd separates sheep and goats. He's going to know them right off the bat. And he's going to judge them based on what they did with their lives. To those on his right, he said, "Enter into to your father's rest. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was in prison and you visited me. I was sick and you comforted me." You lived your life investing in people, investing in me. He said, well, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you or sick and come to visit you and thirsty and give you something to drink or in prison and give? He said, to the extent you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. See, we can't love God and not serve people. We can't love God and not love people. Jesus didn't die so that we'd be comfortable. He didn't die so that we'd just be happy. I just got a newsflash for you. God could care less about your comfort and your happiness. What He cares about is His glory. And how are you living your life to demonstrate the glory of God? The presence of God. And the pursuit of God. Jonah got angry because he was uncomfortable. Prayed to die. He begged with all his soul to die. Then God said again, do you have good reason to be angry about the plant? He said, look, you didn't plant it. You didn't cause it to grow. You didn't do anything for it. I did it all. I gave it all to you. And then I chose to take it away. What have you got to be angry about? You didn't do anything for it. Oh, but we worked hard for what we got. Oh, we deserve better than what we're getting. Oh, we deserve. Do you really? Do you really? You a sinner? Rebellious? But God has been gracious to you. Why are you angry at Him? Why do you think you deserve anything? It's all an act of grace. God says, you're concerned about a plant. What about these 120,000 people that live in this city that don't know their right hand from their left? In other words, they don't know the gospel. They don't know any different than they're living. See, we expect lost people to live like church people. While most of the church people living like lost people. He says, look, they don't know about me. They don't know that I love them. They don't know that I want to free them. They don't know any different. They're doing what lost people do. And we've got to remember, the people outside, the people that have hurt you, the people that are treating you bad, the people that hate the Lord, they're doing it because they don't know any different. Southern congeniality only goes so far. The only thing that transforms a heart and a life is Jesus. If we want our country to be better, if we want our friends to be better, if we want those that hurt us to be different, we've got to share the gospel with them, because Jesus is the only one that can change a heart. God asked Jonah, you care about a plant you had nothing to do with, only because it gave you comfort. When I took your comfort away, you got mad and you're ready to die. You are just sick to death with your discomfort. But you don't care anything about this 120,000 people that I'm about to destroy and send to hell because they don't know me. I want them to be saved. I want them to be in a relationship with me. I want them to spend eternity with me. I created heaven for them. Hell is for the devil and his angels. And you're worried about your comfort. Okay, if you're not worried about the people, think about the innocent bystanders. It's kind of odd that this whole book was ended with a question. You don't care about the 120,000 people. Well, think about the animals that I'm going to destroy. At least think about the innocent bystanders. See, we talked about before. Sin, there's no such thing as private sin. There's no such thing as sin that only has consequences with us. Think about the families that are destroyed because we won't go to these abusive and alcoholic dads. Think about the families that are destroyed because we won't share the gospel with moms who aren't living like we think they ought to live. Think about the history or the legacy of brokenness, because we want love on single moms who have been living promiscuous lifestyles. Think about the people in broken relationships. The legacy of hurt and brokenness that's going to continue. Because we won't share the gospel. We're too concerned about our comfort than getting into their mess and tell them how much Jesus loves them. Think about the innocence that are going to be destroyed with them. And we've got a great message. We serve a great God. We serve a gracious and compassionate, a long-suffering and forgiving God. And we need to share Him with people. It's like Tony Evans once said, if you want better families, or excuse me, you want a better nation, you gotta have better states. You want to have better states, you gotta have better communities. You want to have better communities, have better families. You want to have better families? Share the gospel with everybody you meet. And the only way things are going to get better, the only way people are going to change is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to share that. We need to be more concerned about that than anything. Love God and love people. The book ended with this question. And I think it's a question that rings through the ages. Are you more concerned about your comfort or about a lost and dying world? Are you more concerned about your stuff than investing in the kingdom of God? Are you more concerned about your pleasure than reaching lost people and giving to kingdom things? It's the heart that matters. See, we can do all the right things for the wrong reasons and it not be pleasing to God. Two times in Ezekiel, God was talking to the children of Israel. He says, in that day, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. See, it's the hardness of the heart that causes us to live in rebellion. 1 John 5:3, John tells us this, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. It's our attitude of the heart. We keep His commandments because we love Him. We keep His commandments because we're thankful. We keep His commandments because He's worthy of our obedience. We love God and we love people because we were first loved by Him. Paul said, I am happy to complete the suffering that's lacking. I'm happy to suffer for Jesus. I'm happy to take the beatings. I'm happy to be in prison. I'm happy for people to hate me. I'm happy to be abused and used so that other people can see the love, the presence, and the power of God and hear the gospel. Church, what are we concerned more about? Our comfort, not just in here, but our comfortable lives. Or a world that's lost and dying and needs Jesus. Because that's what matters to God. Let's serve Him. Let's remember how He has been so, so good to us. And let's live in obedience. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. You don't know the forgiveness of your sins. Maybe today you're beginning to understand the wickedness and the sinfulness of your heart. Today is a great day of salvation. If you will surrender your heart and your life to Jesus, He will begin a work in you to transform your heart and your mind. You'll get to go to heaven, yeah, but that's not the reason He's going to save you. He's going to save you so you can be a poster child of His grace and work for His kingdom so that other people can be saved. But your life will count for eternity. Church, the question for us today is, what about this world that's lost and dying, that will be judged and destroyed? What's more important to us? Retirement account? Traveling and having fun? Hey, I just got back from vacation. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to give. It doesn't mean that I've spent so much that we can't or won't give and invest. See, we've got to remember, if what we're doing makes it so much that we can't invest in the kingdom of God, we're worried more about our comfort than lost people. What do you care about? Is your heart being changed? That's what God's concerned about. Let's surrender again today. Stand with me if you would.